Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 17th of February, 2014, a podcast that a man just can't run away from. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jacob Morris. Jacob, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
First, a quick announcement. I will be on the Ed and Ethan show this week, so please check that out, and I'll get a link in the show notes just as soon as they get that up. Well, let's get started on the news of the bogus. We start off with a piece of good news. And this is the kind of good news we usually don't see, you know, when we cover, like, all these bad cop stories and things like that. Just a little bit of backstory. There was a guy, Henry Godrich McGee, and a policeman raided his home with a no-knock warrant looking for marijuana. And, of course, in no-knock, they don't even announce themselves, so he didn't know who it was. He didn't know if it was an intruder or what, so he shot the deputy. And so, of course, they charged him not only with the marijuana they found in the home, but they charged him with murdering the deputy. A grand jury has refused to indict him.
Was this in Texas?
This is in Dallas, Texas.
Not New Hampshire?
Not New Hampshire, not in Washington or Colorado that legalized marijuana. Nope, deep in the heart of Texas.
Ooh, that's my home state.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this was the grand jury that you have to get past the grand jury to get an indictment to even get to trial.
Is that like a regular jury?
Well, the regular jury is when you have the trial and you try the evidence, then the jury has to decide beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they can't find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, they come back. A grand jury just decides if there's enough evidence to go forward with a trial. So that's what happened. This cut it out before. There's not even going to be a trial or anything. Grand jury just refused to indict him. They did recover a handful of plants, and he was charged with possession of marijuana, and the news story doesn't say what's happening about that, but, I mean, it's a little extreme, isn't it, doing this, you know, no-knock warrant and everything, busting a guy's out just for a few marijuana plants?
Yeah, you get used to it. I've had three today.
Oh. But the interesting thing is, on the Texas Cannabis Report site, they had a poll going, and the poll asked, should you be indicted if you shoot someone raiding your home with a no-knock warrant, and overwhelmingly, over 95% of the people responded said no. So that's interesting. Of course, that's an internet poll. Probably doesn't mean a whole lot. And if you're going to the Texas Cannabis Reports website, you're probably already on that side. But still,
yeah,
we're just used to policemen getting the benefit of that, oh, no, you shot a cop. You know, how dare you? And you know, the circumstances really don't matter. So hopefully this is part of a trend.
Yeah.
But now we go from good news to bad news, still in the subject of marijuana, up in the Great White North. Canada has had medical marijuana for a while now, but now only commercial operators will be able to legally sell medical marijuana, and they're going to sell it for something like $7.50 per gram. And just to give you an idea of what that means is, this story mentions a woman, Joanne Crowther. She needs 15 grams a day to get enough cannabis oil that she's taking for her lymphoma. And if you do the math, that's well over $100 a day.
Okay, I'm not a user myself, but that's way more than it costs here.
Well, I mean, that's way more than a sugar. But I mean, when you have governments saying only these people can make it, that's what happens. The price goes up. And the BC Ministry of Health has said that they're not going to cover this, so yay, Canada, we get our health care for free. Oh, wait, except when we don't. And here's what the spokesperson said, quote, PharmaCare restricts its drug coverage to medications which Health Canada have assigned drug identification numbers and are available by prescription only. Medical marijuana does not have a DIN. So, screw you guys, I guess.
Then why do they call it medical, then?
I don't know. But according to a Canadian lawyer, John Conroy, 60 to 70% of Canada's medical marijuana patients are on fixed disability incomes. Their only real option is to grow at home, but under these new rules, all of a sudden, they'll be criminals, even though they're just growing the medicine they need, because they're not getting it from these government-authorized resellers.
Shame.
Yeah, but it's not really a surprise. I mean, this is what you get with universal health care or anything else government does. Pretty much since there was a government, what they were doing was passing laws and everything else that benefit their cronies, and who cares about everyone else, so
heads they win, tails you lose.
Yeah.
Forget the rule books. They make the rules.
Okay, more interesting things back at home. We've talked a lot about the NSA surveillance scandal and all the privacy issues with that. Senator Rand Paul is joining with Matt Kibbe of FreedomWorks to sue the NSA over allegations that they're violating the Fourth Amendment by collecting everyone's phone metadata and so on.
But it's just metadata. It's not like you have a right to it. Oh, wait, Ninth Amendment, damn it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, people are trying to poo-poo this metadata. If you ask anyone who really has any expertise on it, they'll tell you how much they can actually get from metadata. I mean, you'd be more worried about them getting the metadata than you want them listening into the calls.
I remember that.
So what Senator Paul said at a press conference, quote, "There's a huge and growing swell of protest in this country of people who are outraged that their records would be taken without suspicion, without a judge's warrant, and without individualization." And he also said the president has, quote, "publicly refused to stop a clear and continuing violation of the Fourth Amendment." Yeah, but if you remember back in the campaign, you know, Obama was supposedly against all this and was going to put a stop to it, and turns out all the stuff's going on is just 100 times worse than what we thought was going on before.
I honestly don't think it would be any different if Rand Paul was president either. He opposes things president doing. Now we have someone opposing what he's doing. See a connection?
Yeah, but I mean, Obama in the Senate was voting for things like warrantless wiretapping, so I mean, anyone who was paying attention could see this coming.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
So I don't know, is this political grandstanding, or is he really taking a principled stand? I guess time will tell, but his suit names President Obama, James Clapper, who's the Director of National Intelligence, NSA Director Keith Alexander, and FBI Director James Comey as the defendants. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that.
Good luck.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.pagosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.pagosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. All right, so Jacob, you're going to tell us about this Salon.com article on why we're wrong about communism?
Yeah, and capitalism. Hey, this would be original.
Yeah, I'm totally ready for all sorts of original arguments and not rehashed Pratt.
There's a picture of Karl Marx and Gordon Gekert next to each other.
Ah, so you know it's going to be objective then.
Yep. Only commies rely on state violence. That's the first misconception.
Okay, so he's saying the communist economies don't rely on state violence.
Well, no, they're not the only ones guilty of this.
Ah, okay, so this is a tu-quoque fallacy. Well, you do it too.
Yeah, Pinochet was capitalist.
Was he?
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah, that didn't seem very capitalist to me. But...
Yeah.
So what's his argument?
Any attempts to achieve economic justice, like taxation, will encounter stiff opposition from the ownership class.
Just the fact that he can refer to the forceful taking of money as economic justice probably tells you all you need to know about him.
In capitalism, competing ownership claims are settled in the state's willingness to use violence to exclude all but one claimant. If I lay claim to one of David Koch's mansions, libertarian that he is, he's going to rely on big government and it's going to set me right.
Probably because he's in a system that doesn't allow him to do it any other way.
He owns the mansion because the state says he does and threatens to imprison anyone who disagrees. Okay, a knight, the mafia, a gang, or cowboys of the Wild West. Either by vigilantes or the state, property rights rely on violence.
So this is not only an argument from incredulity, it's actually a little bit psychopathic that he can't think of a peaceful way to do this.
Yeah, this is true of both personal possessions and private property, but it's important not to confuse the two. When Fox Business channel host moved to confiscate my tie, we are in the realm of personal possessions. Communism necessarily distributes property universally. But, at least as far as this communist is concerned, can still allow you to keep your smartphone. Deal?
No deal. Because, I mean, here's the thing about property rights. They're all based on one concept, and that is that you own yourself. You own your time, your labor, your mind, and the products of all of these things. So, when you go with someone else and say, okay, I'll work for you in exchange for money, that's the fruits of your labor. And so if you say, oh, well, we're going to take from that and give it to someone else, what are you saying except we're claiming some kind of ownership over your body and the product of your output?
Hey, Shay, you're a means of production. How about I let you keep your smartphone as long as I get to have you?
Yeah. But, I mean, he does this bogus little differentiation between property and personal possessions as though there's, like, a difference.
Okay, number two. Capitalist economies are based on free exchange. By the lived experience of hundreds of millions of people, most find ourselves constantly stuck between competing pressures and therefore stressed out, exhausted, lonely, and in search of meaning, as though we're not in control of our lives. We aren't. The market is.
Now wait, hold on. What is the market? Isn't the market us? And all the transactions we voluntarily engage in all day, every day?
No, it's just everything I hate.
I mean, really, what part of the market is not people coming together and engaging in peaceful transactions?
Parts I don't like. If you don't think so, try and exit the market.
Well, that's kind of like saying try and exit humanity, you know?
The origin of capitalism was depriving British peasants of their access to land. Seizure of property, you might call it, and therefore the mere means of subsistence.
So once again, we have someone equating capitalism to feudalism and not getting the difference.
Well, mercantilism.
Well, same. Mercantilism, I think, was like a transitional form between feudalism and corporatism, which is what we're in now. But, I mean, what part of capitalism is depriving people of their access to land? In capitalism, you don't take people's land away. That's what government does. They declare eminent domain, oh, we're going to take your property and give it to Walmart or Pfizer or whoever. You know, that's government that does that.
Even that boss, that apparent victor in the free exchange, isn't free. The market places imperatives on ownership on the ownership class to relentlessly accumulate wealth and develop the forces of production or else fail.
Okay, well, that sounds right. I mean, if you can't create wealth for other people and convince them to give them your money, then you're not going to get anywhere. And you need to go and do something else that's more in line with your skill set or whatever.
Capitalists are compelled to support oppressive regimes and wreck the planet as a matter of business.
And of course, there is absolutely no evidence for any of that. If you're a capitalist, how are you compelled to support an oppressive regime? If anything, capitalism should be the absence of an oppressive regime.
The U.S.'s particular brand of capitalism requires exterminating a continent's worth of indigenous people and enslaving millions of kidnapped Africans.
All right, hold on. Exterminating a continent's worth of indigenous people. Who did that? Was that J.D. Rockefeller? Was that Gustavus Swift? Was that those guys? Or was it the U.S. Army? I think it was the U.S. Army.
Or was it the British colonialists?
Oh, well, them too.
Oh, wait, no. Wrong indigenous people.
I mean, as for slavery, what was the market doing except trying to get rid of slavery, and that's why they had to keep passing all these laws like the Fugitive Slave Acts? I mean, all this has just been debunked long ago.
And all the capitalist industry was only possible because white women considered the property of their fathers and husbands were performing the invisible task of child rearing and housework without remuneration. Three cheers for free exchange.
Well, gee, he doesn't know much about history, does he? This whole thing about the woman not working and making money, that's actually more of a 20th century thing. You know, there was all the time about women being, you know, seamstresses and all sorts of things. They had jobs all over the place, and even the ones that did work at home, it was pretty much, you know, the woman did certain tasks on the farm, and so did everyone else, and everyone was working, and everyone was... And it says, without remuneration? I mean, what's he talking about? They were getting the same remuneration as everyone else was. You know, you work on the farm to grow food and get fed, so what, they weren't feeding her? Is that what he's saying?
Yes. Okay, number 3. Communists killed 110 million people for resisting dispossession. And there's an asterisk after the million that says, the number cited is as consistent as it's rooted in sound research, i.e. not. Making up a big-sounding number of people and chalking up their deaths up to some abstract communism is no way to enact a humanistic commitment to victims of human rights atrocities. Oh wait, I get it now. They weren't communists.
Ah, they weren't real communists.
No, they were just working towards this communism.
But you know, that's the interesting about the Soviet Union, because all up through the 70s and 80s, you had all these economists and everyone else, including prominent ones like Paul Samuelson, talking about, oh yes, this is proof that socialism works, and they've proven that you can have a sound economy that lasts forever. And Paul Samuelson even put something like that into one of his textbooks in 1989. And then 6 months later, the Berlin Wall came down. And so after that, oh, well, they weren't true socialists. That wasn't real socialism. Yeah, but before they fell, you were saying they were.
The number of people killed under Soviet communism weren't the kulaks everyone pretended to care about. But they were communists themselves.
Okay, so it's okay for communists to kill other communists, and that means they weren't really killing them?
No, it's collectivism. That means suicide.
Ah.
Paranoid old Stalin will indeed exterminate entire communist parties.
Now that plural is interesting there. He exterminated entire communist parties. So there wasn't like one communist party. There were a bunch of communist parties. So he exterminated communist parties that weren't his communist party.
Right, they weren't resisting having their property collectivized, they were just resisting their communism.
But how does that mean they weren't killed by communism?
I already told you, suicide.
Ah, I just have to turn the crazy up a notch to be able to follow this.
To claim the victims died because they, in the right minds, would not volunteer for a left-wing dream, it's ludicrous. Famine is not uniquely a left-wing problem.
But isn't it interesting that when you do have capitalism, you get out of famine, you know, like, we've talked about Plymouth Plantation before. They started with collectivism, and they starved, and they went over to a system of private property rights, and then all of a sudden they had plenty.
Yeah. Next one. Top 10 Young Hollywood Controversies. Wait, no, that's not right. 4. Capitalist governments don't commit human rights atrocities.
Okay, first of all, what is a capitalist government?
Whatever they don't like.
And who said governments don't commit human rights atrocities? What government hasn't committed human rights atrocities?
The ones I do like.
I'm noticing a trend here. But that's why we want capitalism. Because we want to take that power from government.
Okay, because if people like the writer have to account for the Gulag and the Great Sparrow Campaign, they'll have to account for the slave trade, indigenous extermination, late Victorian Holocaust, and every war, genocide, massacre carried out by the U.S. and its proxies, in an effort to defeat communism.
So how does that make it the fault of capitalism, though? I mean, we've already talked about slavery and the slaughter of the Native Americans. What about the what wars were capitalist? How do you have a capitalist war? What was wars except for things that were committed by one lying big government politician after another to get people killed for their own ends, whether it was, you know, Woodrow Wilson or FDR or whoever?
It would be intuitive that capitalism, which glorifies rapid growth amidst ruthless competition, would prove great acts of violence and deprivation. But somehow, its defenders are convinced that it's always and everywhere a force of righteousness and liberation.
It's funny how he's just arguing from intuition, whereas he's taken one big government atrocity after another, after another, after another, and tried to blame it on capitalism.
Let them try to convince some people who die of malnutrition of the free market, because the free market is incapable of engineering a situation in which less than half the world's food...
And where are these tens of millions of people? Are they in free markets governed by capitalism? Or are they in these countries led by these hugely oppressive and largely socialist or communist rulers?
No, they're not.
Why not?
That's pretty much it.
Ah.
The 100 million deaths that are perhaps most important to focus on right now are the ones that International Human Rights Organization, DARA, projected will die climate-borne deaths between 2012 and 2030. 100 million more will follow those, and they will not take 18 years to die. Famine, like the human species, as never known, is on the offing because the free market does not price carbon or oil extracting capitalist firms have since the collapse of the USSR become sovereigns of their own. Most virulent anti-communists have a very handy, if morally disgraceful, way of treating the mass extinction event. They deny that it's happening.
So we are skeptical of their Chicken Little scenario, running around screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and somehow that's our fault that he doesn't have anything to back this up with. But I mean, who really is it that's perpetuating, you know, all of this, he says they don't price carbon and oil extracting capitalist firms. Well, gee, maybe if governments hadn't been subsidizing that the whole time.
Okay, number 5. 21st century American communism would resemble 20th century Soviet and Chinese horrors. Before their revolutions, Russia and China were pre-industrial, agricultural, largely illiterate societies whose masses were peasants spread out over truly vast expanses of land. Today, in the United States, robots make robots and less than 2% of the population work on agriculture. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Maybe capitalism made it so they don't have to?
Simple invocation of the former, therefore, has no value in our mind about the future of the American economy.
Okay, so if I drop a 500-pound weight on your head, it'll kill you. But if I drop a piano on your head, it won't kill you because a piano and a weight are incalculably dissimilar.
For me, communism is an aspiration, not an immediately achievable state. Democracy and libertarianism is utopian, and that is, constantly strives towards an ideal.
I'm sorry, can we please put this thing to rest about libertarianism being utopian? I mean, first of all, why don't you read Thomas More's Utopia to find out what he's really talking about? And second, as I've pointed out so many times and so many others have too, libertarianism isn't an ideal that we strive toward. We're not like the communists. We don't think like this guy. We don't think that, oh, we know all the answers and we have just this one way that will work perfectly if you just please give us all the power and let us do it. Libertarianism is about people deciding for themselves what is ideal for their lives and empowering them to be able to do that by setting them free and letting them have whatever kind of associations and voluntary exchanges and whatever else they might want with other people.
Steps towards state of affairs need include anything as scary and as wholesale as the immediate abolition of markets. After all, markets predate capitalism by several millennia, and communists love a good farmer's market.
Yeah, we had a market before we had the market.
Capitalism preceded capitalism. They can even include reforms with support among broadly ideologically divergent parties.
As long as those ideologically divergent parties agree with what the communists in power say.
Yeah. We could expect us to approach communism beginning here and now to be far more open, humane, than the Russian and Chinese attempts managed.
It'd be hard to do any worse.
True. I'd even argue it would be easier now than it was then to construct a set of social relations based on fellowship and mutual aid, as distinct from capitalisms, which are characterized by competition and exclusion.
So, I mean, how does he even get that? What is a capitalist society except fellowship and mutual aid? It's people coming together to help each other. You know, you do something for me, I do something for you, both sides win.
And sure, there are people like, hey, I can help you better, come to me.
Yeah, well, try running a business. See how many other people in businesses you compete with, as opposed to all of the other people in businesses that you cooperate with. The ones you cooperate with are going to vastly outnumber the ones you compete with.
And even the ones you compete with, you'll cooperate sometimes. Like when JCPenney's and some other clothing store exchanges their thief identities.
Yeah.
Okay, such as would be necessary to allow for an eventual withering away of the state that libertarians fetishize, without replaying the Middle Ages, only this time with drones and metadata.
I don't remember when the state withered away during the Middle Ages.
Yeah, I remember being pretty active, along with the church.
Yeah, but maybe my history book wasn't written in crayon.
Yeah. Number 6. Communism fosters uniformity. Lots of people are unable to distinguish between equality from homogeneity.
Maybe because we actually know what the word homogeneity means.
Perhaps this derives from the tendency of people in capitalist societies to view themselves primarily as consumers. Dystopian fantasy is a supermarket where one state-owned brand of food is available for all items, and it's all in red packaging with yellow letters. One thing we do a huge amount of is work, or for millions of unemployed Americans, try to and are not allowed. Do you wonder why?
Yeah, maybe like minimum wage laws that say you're not allowed to work because you can't create enough wealth for the companies. I mean, what? I really don't get this. Why do people think that businesses don't want to hire people?
Oh, and there's licensing laws. I need a license for people to pee in a cup or make flowers.
Yeah. The flower arranging license has to be the most ridiculous one.
Or to braid hair.
Yeah, in order to braid hair, you have to take 4,000 hours of classes where you won't learn anything at all about braiding hair.
Right. Communism envisions a time beyond work when people are free, as Marx wrote, to do one thing today, another tomorrow, to hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, criticize after dinner, without ever becoming a hunt critic. I think that's called Skyrim.
Okay, so no specialization, no division of labor, none of the things that actually make people's lives easier and help them make more money and increase their quality of life. He's not really making the case for communism here, is he?
No. Except for that last one, but I can already get that with Skyrim. But you might want to consider it an actual instantiation of universal access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You won't even notice the red packaging with yellow letters.
Yeah, because there won't be any of them on the shelf.
Exactly. 7. I think it's the last one. Hooray!
Yay, we're finally at the end.
Capitalism fosters individuality.
Capitalism is individuality. That's the basis of it.
Instead of allowing all people to follow their entrepreneurial spirit into the endeavors that fulfill them, capitalism applauds the small number of entrepreneurs who capture large portions of the mass market.
Oh, I get it. He's just lying. I mean, come on. What is capitalism except encouraging people to follow their entrepreneurial spirits?
This requires producing things on a mass scale, which imposes a double uniformity on society. Tons and tons of people all purchase the same products, and tons of people all perform the same labor. Such individuality, as flourishes amid this system, is often extremely superficial.
Well, why would people purchase those products if those products didn't give them a greater benefit than the price they paid for it? And why would people be all performing that same labor unless those products are what people wanted? And I mean, come on, it's not like it's just all one thing. I mean, just go down the freaking cereal aisle. Look at how many breakfast cereals there are. Try and count them. I mean, you have diversity all over the place.
Most of the greatest art under capitalism has always come from people who are oppressed and alienated. The blues, jazz, rock and roll, hip-hop. Then, thanks to capitalism, it is homogenized, marketed, and milked for all its value by the entrepreneurs, sitting at the top of the heap, stroking their satiated flanks in admiration of themselves, forgetting everyone beneath them to believe that we are free.
Wait a minute, though. It sounds like he's talking about the RIAA. Does he actually think they're capitalist? Come on, they're like the old-fashioned guilds.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I mean, it's just nothing new. It's the same old misconception of what capitalism is, which is nothing more than the 300-some-odd million people in the country coming together and exchanging things and engaging in relationships. That's all it is. That's all it is. And if it means that all of us are buying the same product, it means it's a good product that's giving a benefit to all of us, and what's wrong with that?
It's kind of like Non-Stamp Collector's video on The Great Debate, where moderators like throwing out all the old arguments theists would make.
Yeah, and hey, let's not have anyone mention all of the corporatism that's going on, like with the RIAA and with the big corporations and everything, because we all know that's just not capitalism, that's corporatism, so let's not do that anymore. Yeah, I could totally make my own version of that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code Bogosity in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for special offers on GoDaddy products. Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And I believe you also have for us this week's biggest bogon emitter from isocracy.org.
Voluntarism, exploitation pretending to be anarchism. That's the title.
Okay, so voluntarism is kind of like the new word people are applying to the anarcho-capitalistic version of libertarianism.
Well, not just anarcho-capitalism, just anarchism in general. Like, as long as it's voluntary, it's cool.
Yeah, well, that's anarcho-capitalism, basically.
Yeah, but not everybody likes to hear that.
Yeah, I don't really get anarcho-communists and anarcho-syndicalists. I mean, how are they anarchists? They all require force to perpetuate their system. And if they do that, aren't they a government?
Yeah, I'd only be anarcho-communist while they're doing it until they realize it sucks and become ANCAPs.
Yeah.
Anarchism is the belief in the creation of human societies where all individuals are free to reach their greatest potential, absent coercion. Not a clean slate where individuals can position themselves above others in society and use that position to extract wealth from their labor.
Yeah, I mean, this just sounds like that last article all over again. And, I mean, here we have the long-refuted labor theory of value. You know, no one's extracting wealth from your labor. You exchange your labor in exchange for a wage. And if you didn't think that wage was worth the labor, you'd quit. You wouldn't work. You'd go work somewhere else.
Voluntarists like to reduce all matters of moral action down to voluntary consent of individuals, while completely ignoring presupposed environmental variables which they sneak in the back door. For instance, one can easily say that I voluntarily pay rent to live in this apartment. Indeed, I signed the contract, agreeing to pay this amount monthly. What voluntarists ignore, however, is that I, by my very nature, do not have a choice in whether I occupy space on the planet or whether the right to occupy that specific space has been claimed by someone else. They ignore the consequences of not paying rent, homelessness, while claiming that the payment of rent represents a voluntary agreement. It could just as easily be said that a 19th century English peasant voluntarily accepted monarchy by bowing to royalty if we ignore the law commanding them to do so.
Yeah, see, here's the thing about that. If you don't have a concept of ownership, like I own this property and I say who can come on this property and who can't, and therefore I can rent it to you if you want to pay the money to live here, without that, what's to stop anyone from coming wherever you are and kicking you off? I mean, if there's no ownership and everyone has a quote-unquote equal right to it, what's to stop them?
Okay, here's a quote by Tony Benn. Choice depends on the freedom to choose, and if you are shackled with debt, you don't have the freedom to choose.
You mean shackled with debt like what our government's been doing to us this whole time?
Rather than renting oneself to a capitalist, Locke argues that you should be able to sell your future liberty indefinitely. While not all voluntarists agree with this extreme example, they do agree in principle that A person should be able to sell their liberty in part for access to necessary property, i.e. wage employment.
I don't get what he means, sell their liberty. What does that even mean? I mean, you can contract with someone, I'll agree to do work in exchange for a wage, but how is that selling your liberty? Is that not exercising your liberty?
So why does it matter? As an anarchist, I believe in the unimpeded right of all individuals to reach their greatest possible potential. Isn't that like the communist thing we talked about?
Yeah, this is really, I'm really getting deja vu here.
When I see people arguing for the liberty to sell one's liberty for economic necessity under the banner of human liberation, I'm outraged and disgusted, and rightfully so. Anarchist apartheid? No, Roderick. This is a defense of anarchism from people who have clearly stated goals which are the antithesis of anarchism. This is an intellectual purging of the enemies of human liberty.
Well, if this is the antithesis of anarchism, then where's the government in it? Because anarchism, by definition, means without rulers. So the antithesis of anarchism would mean we want rulers, so where are these rulers?
No, it's not anarchism because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I ain't getting deja vu.
He doesn't seem to know what voluntarism is either.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got all the same buzzwords in here like exploitation. I mean, what does that even mean? If I work for someone and they pay me an amount that I'm happy with and we both leave better off than we started, where's the exploitation? So I guess all that means that the Isocracy Network is this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to get trigger happy with this week's Idiot Extraordinaire! And this week, it goes to a suicide bomb trainer in Iraq who seems to have had a case of premature detonation.
The People's Iraqi Front Crack Suicide Squad.
That showed him, huh? Yeah, they don't give this guy's name, but apparently he was a commander at a terrorist training camp north of Baghdad. You know, the kind that didn't exist back when Saddam Hussein was in charge and they said he was in bed with terrorism. Yeah, kind of always have to remind people of that. Yeah, but this article talks about all these terrorist training camps that were set up and all that, and so it's like we deposed Saddam Hussein. I say we, I mean the government. I had nothing to do with it, but our government deposes Saddam Hussein to supposedly get rid of all these terrorist camps that weren't there, and now that that's done, all of a sudden there are all these training camps for all these different suicide bombers, and it's like, when will we learn? So anyway, he was apparently demonstrating how to use a belt packed with explosives, and apparently he was a little too realistic with his demonstration. It went off, killing himself and 21 others, and I believe injuring 15. Yeah, it sounds like Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. What was your training camp like? Well, it was good. What happened? New guy. So, life imitates comedy. So, Rod Hashim, who works at the counter of a liquor store, heard the news and apparently just burst out laughing. He said, quote, "This is so funny. It shows how stupid they are, those dogs and sons of dogs. This is God showing justice. This is God sending a message to the bad people and the criminals of the world to tell them to stop the injustice and to bring peace. Evil will not win in the end. It's always life that wins over death."
Oh, wait, this is God's justice? Like, were there any innocent people in that explosion?
I think they were all at this, like, suicide bomber camp, so I guess you can decide for yourself whether that makes them innocent or what. I mean, if you're going to a place where you will learn to blow up other people and kill them, I don't know, I think you might have given up your presumption of being someone whose death we have to feel bad about laughing at, you know?
Yeah, okay, so I guess God got it right this time.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully we can look on the brighter side of life.
Yeah. So that just means that this unnamed suicide bomb trainer just has to be this week's Idiot Extraordinaire! Wraps up this Did Somebody Say Mattress to Mr. Lambert edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums of Bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jacob Morris for joining me. Until next time, here's a quote from Robert Heinlein. Secrecy is the beginning of tyranny. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
It's my only line!